Welcome to Strong Tower Radio Today. The views and opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily reflect the views of Strong Tower Radio, West Central Michigan Media Ministries, or its employees.
We're back with Resurrection Myths, Strong Tower Radio's program looking at the issue of life and death. What happens after death? What happens with Christ on this period of time, looking back in a live historical event of Christ's literal death, resurrection? How does that apply to what we believe? Pastor Jay Gallimore is with us, as well as Pastor Steve Wolberg. Pastor Steve Wolberg wrote a book, Satan's First Lie. What are some questions that, why did you write the book, and what does this book answer about life and death? There, many times we think we're talking about the same subject as human beings, but the Bible may say something different than what we understand.
Yes, that's right, Tom. And I wrote the book because there's so much confusion on this topic in the world, the Christian world and the secular world. I'm a Bible student. I believe that the Holy Spirit led me to write this book. I've written many books. I try to pick topics that I believe God is impressing me to write, or He picks the topics, and this is such a big one. And so let me just clarify once again that Satan's First Lie, and that's why I picked the title, is the teaching that fallen human beings, all of us, that we all naturally have immortal souls that go on somewhere immediately after we die, when the physical body goes back to the dust. And that false doctrine that we all have immortal souls really undermines the biblical truth of death, burial, and resurrection, and it lessens our appreciation for the resurrection of Jesus and the hope that we have that we also will be resurrected when He returns. Now, let me just, a lot of questions come up in people's minds, so let me just nail down a couple points. First Timothy 6:16, Paul is very clear that God alone has immortality. That's very clear. Paul wrote that. Romans 2:7, Paul wrote that we seek for glory and honor and immortality and eternal life. So immortality is not something we have naturally. It's something we seek for through Jesus. And 1 Corinthians 15:53-54 says that on the resurrection day when Jesus comes, this mortal will put on immortality. So we become immortal on resurrection day. We do not have immortality now. Now that brings up a lot of questions that people have about other Bible verses that seem to say the opposite. And so that's why in my book, I'll just quickly go through some of the chapter titles. The first one's called Immortal Souls. Chapter 2 is called Seduced by Serpent, going back to the Garden of Eden. Chapter 3 is called Barred from the Tree of Life, that I explained a little bit ago from Genesis chapter 3, that Adam and Eve were not allowed to get to the Tree of Life, so they would eat that fruit and live forever after they sinned. And then I have other chapters. Chapter 7 is called The Resurrection Factor. Chapter 6 is called What Happens at Death. Chapter 8 is called Absent from the Body. Chapter 9 is called The Thief on the Cross. Chapter 10 is called Moses and Elijah. Chapter 11 is called Souls Under the Altar. Chapter 16 is called The Rich Man and Lazarus. And then chapter 17 is called God's Infinite Love Revealed. And in those chapters, I deal specifically with those Bible verses that seem to teach that when a person dies, they automatically go to heaven or hell or somewhere. For instance, the verse in Absent from the Body, 2 Corinthians 5:8. So many people quote that verse that when we die, they quote that verse where Paul said he longed to be absent from this body and to be present with the Lord. And they assume that means that as soon as you die, you go right to be with the Lord. But when you look at the context of that verse, that's not what it's saying. In verse 4 of the same chapter, Paul talked about his hope for the transition when mortality would be swallowed up by life. And then if you go back to 1 Corinthians, his first book, chapter 15, verses 51 to 55, he makes it very clear that this mortal becomes immortal at the resurrection. So in 2 Corinthians 5:8, when Paul said he longed to be absent from this body and present with the Lord, he did not mean that as soon as he dies, his soul would leave his body and go to be with the Lord. He meant that when he dies, the next thing he'll know is resurrection morning when Jesus returns. That's when he'll get to be with the Lord. And Paul also said the same thing in 1 Thessalonians 4 when he said that when Jesus comes down from heaven with a shout, with a voice, with the trumpet of God, the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And then he says, and thus shall we always be with the Lord. So being present with the Lord and being with the Lord, when you compare 2 Corinthians 5:8 with 1 Thessalonians 4:16 and 17, that takes place not at the moment of death, but on resurrection day. And so my book deals with all these different verses that are being twisted and misinterpreted and misquoted to actually support Satan's first lie. And Tom and Jay, it's never healthy to believe a lie of the devil. Jesus wants us to believe the truth about his love, his death for our sins, his burial, and his resurrection from the dead, and how that is our hope, that when we die, Jesus will come at the end of time, and he will resurrect us on the last day.
You know, Steve, thank you so much for that. This truth that we simply die and we sleep unconsciously till the morning of the resurrection, that truth is like an axe to the great deceptions of the devil and Satan and his evil angels. It brings down the whole Halloween concept, which has become the number two holiday money-wise in the United States, because people believe this. Hollywood and all the media, you know, the entertainment industry, they just play on this whole thing of ghosts and people that just keep on living. None of it's true. You know, people say, well, I had this experience. I saw my dead loved one. Well, you didn't see your dead loved one. All due respect. What you saw was a satanic demon masquerading as your loved one, speaking with the same tone of voice, looks just like them, talks just like them, knows all about the experiences you had together, but it's there to deceive you. As one man had an apparition like this, but he knew the truth, and his wife appeared to him, and he in essence said to her, "You are not my wife. You are Satan. You are impersonating my wife. In the name of Jesus, get out of here." And instantly it was gone. But many people are just wide open to all the deceptions, demonic deceptions, because of this terrible lie that was told. And it also undermines the resurrection of Jesus, because Jesus is telling us it's the resurrection. That's your hope. My resurrection is your hope. Steve, I'd like to know a little bit more for our audience. What about those souls under the altar in the book of Revelation?
The idea of souls under the altar is imagery. Just like when Cain killed Abel, God said to him, "Where's your brother?" And he said, "Am I my brother's keeper?" And then God said to Cain that the voice of your brother's blood is crying out to me from the ground. Now, that doesn't literally mean that if Cain were to go back over to the place where he had killed his brother and the blood spattered on the ground, that if he put his ear to the dirt, he could hear the blood, you know, crying out to God. No, that's imagery, biblical imagery. And so souls are not literally crammed under an altar in heaven. And then the voice of God says to them that they may... what does it say? Let me just get my Bible open. It says that they will rest. Okay, Revelation 6, then the voice of God says to those souls under the altar, it says, white robes were given to every one of them, and it was said to them that they should rest yet a little season until their fellow servants also and their brethren should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. So, they're not literally under an altar. And the language is that they're resting now, and someday they will be resurrected from the dead, which is what the Bible clearly says in John chapter 6 and in 1 Thessalonians 4 and in 1 Corinthians 15 and in many, many other verses.
So, Pastor Steve, you know, the understanding that is very prevalent today in much of the Christian world is, you know, if these people were martyrs, they're good people, and they should go to heaven, and they should be having eternal happiness and joy. But what you're, but this, if they apply this martyrs under the altar, that gives the image of suffering, these good people suffering. There's a dichotomy in that myth or understanding of the resurrection or life after death.
Yes, correct. And like I said, it's imagery. There are some things in Revelation that are simple and straightforward and not symbolic, like God making a new heaven and a new earth, and there being no more suffering, pain, sorrow, or death, for the former things have passed away. That's going to literally happen. Revelation 21, verse 4 and 5, it talks about that. But when it talks about a woman riding a beast that has seven heads and 10 horns, and she's got a golden cup in her hand, and all the nations drink that cup, this is some symbolic imagery about the woman Babylon, whose false doctrines deceive the world. And by the way, one of those false doctrines is the doctrine that man's soul is naturally immortal. This is part of the wine of Babylon. It's a false teaching that does not agree with the whole biblical teaching. And it goes back to Genesis. Once we have the foundation of what the serpent said to Eve in the garden, that you don't die, and we have the foundation that God then banished them so they couldn't get to the tree of knowledge, the tree of life, and eat and live forever. And God said, for dust you are, to dust you will return. And then we know what the Bible says about death and burial and resurrection. Then all these verses come together and they make sense. You know, the principle of Scripture is not to take one or two verses and interpret them in a way that goes against the rest of the Bible. The principle is to look at the rest of the Bible and then understand those few verses that seem to say the opposite and to look at them very carefully and to understand them correctly in the light of the rest of Scripture.
Pastor Steve, I've heard people point to Jesus on the cross with the thief that believed next to him saying, today you will be in paradise. How do you explain that one?
Yes, I have a whole chapter on that verse. And really the interpretation of that verse depends upon a comma. The Bible does not call itself the comma of God. It is the word of God. And commas were added later on by translators. And so the way the comma is in most Bibles, it has Jesus saying to the thief, I tell you the truth, comma, today you'll be with me in paradise. So they assume he meant that they were both going to paradise that day. But if you take the comma and put it after the word today, then it changes the whole meaning. And Jesus is then saying to the thief, I tell you the truth today, you will be with me in paradise, meaning in the future. So the question is, you know, what did Jesus really say? Well, we look at the big picture. Fact number one, Jesus did not go to paradise that day. He went into the grave. Fact number two, the thief did go to paradise that day. He didn't even die that day because they broke his legs at the end of the day because he wasn't dead, whereas Jesus was totally dead. Fact number three is that the thief didn't ask to go to paradise that day. He said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom, which was in the future. And fact number four, when Jesus was resurrected, he met Mary in the garden, and she fell down at his feet and grabbed his feet. And Jesus said, do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. So that's in John 20, verse 17. So Jesus didn't go to paradise that day, and even in the resurrection, he hadn't been up to be with his Father yet. And the thief didn't even die that day. So when you look at the full picture, you don't base an entire interpretation of a verse based on the placement of a comma. You look at the whole picture, and then you look at the rest of the Bible, and all the pieces come together. And that's what, you know, this is being done with absent from the body, souls under the altar, thief on the cross, Moses and Elijah. there's a whole bunch of different verses that people quote, but they're misquoting them. They're misstating them. And that's why we have to really know our Bibles. We have to know Jesus. And the Bible's very clear that Jesus said in John 6, he said in verse 39, 40, 44, and 54, that those who believe in him, he said, I will raise you up at the last day.
Pastor Jay, would you summarize our resurrection myths program today?
Well, I think we've been talking about the powerful importance of the resurrection of Jesus to all of us. And our hope is in that resurrection, because if we are spiritually, if we spiritually die to selfishness and we give up trying to be a God, you know, like Satan did in heaven, wanted to be his own God, and then he tempted Eve to be her own God, and then he tells her she's going to live forever. When we humble ourselves and we surrender our selfishness to Christ and we let it die by his grace, then we are spiritually resurrected to a new life, a new creation, as Paul calls it. Then in the end of time, when Jesus comes into his kingdom as the thief on the cross, that was a very good point, Steve. When Jesus comes into his kingdom, or as he said to Martha, or Martha said to Jesus, I know my brother will arise at the last day, then we have a great hope of life after death. So we have a spiritual death, a spiritual resurrection, a spiritual death to selfishness, a resurrection to unselfish love. And then Jesus changes our heart. We may die here, and we all will unless Jesus comes soon. And I believe he is coming soon. But we die here. We're in the grave. We don't know anything. In fact, when a person goes to sleep in death, the next thing they will know, it's just like an instance, like going to sleep at night and you have a good night's rest. You don't remember a thing that went on during the night. That instant, that next second, the next thing they will know is the coming of Jesus. And that's because they have surrendered themselves, they've died to self, and they've been resurrected to the newness of life because they have put their hope and their faith in Jesus and his resurrection. They put their faith and hope in Jesus' resurrection, and in that resurrection is the hope for all of us. So we would appeal to our audience, put your faith in Christ. Put your faith in his resurrection. Put your faith in his power to change you, to make a new creature out of you. And then know, when he does that, that when Jesus comes again, he will resurrect you from the grave. He'll not bring you down from heaven or up from somewhere else, some murky place like the pagan world has. No, you will come up from that grave on the morning of the resurrection. You will hear the voice of Jesus. He will wake you up, and you, by the grace of God, will have life everlasting because you put your faith in Jesus, in his death, and in his resurrection.
The truth is always better than the best lie. Pastor Steve, would you tell our listeners how they may get your book, Satan's First Lie?
Sure. Yes. Thank you, Tom. It's available from White Horse Media, whitehorsemedia.com. That's our website. We also have a toll-free number, 878-BIBLE, 878-BIBLE. It's only just a couple dollars, so it's very inexpensive. People can buy a lot of them and share them with their friends so other people can know what the Bible says about death, burial, resurrection, and the hope that we have in Jesus.
You've been listening to Strong Tower Radio's Resurrection Myths. I'm your host, Tom Bajur, with Pastor Steve Wolberg and Pastor Jay Gallimore. God bless. Happy resurrection. Amen.
When you're taking a trip, it's important to stay on the right road and to follow the GPS or roadmap to be sure that you get to your destination. Likewise, on your trip to heaven, it is vital to follow the roadmap, the Bible, God's positioning system. To do that, stay with Strong Tower Radio as we uplift the Bible and proclaim God's character. If you'd like to help with this mission, go to our secure website, www.strongtowerradio.org, and click on the donate button or call 231-468-2087. We thank you and may God bless you as we proclaim God's character together.
Welcome to Resurrection Myths. I'm your host, Tom Bezier, for the Strong Tower Radio Network, and we're going to be talking about one of the most important subjects about the resurrection of Christ. The resurrection of Christ is not a myth. It is a true reality, but there's many understandings that just don't add up. So with me today, I have Steve Wahlberg, Pastor Steve Wahlberg. He's the speaker, director, and author. He's with White Horse Media. Welcome, Pastor Steve.
Yes, thank you, Tom. It's good to be with you. We've done this many times, and we're back again.
You wrote a book on the subject we're going to be talking about, Satan's First Lie. Do you want to give a little brief or hold that for thought for a little bit?
Well, I can just give a little brief introduction. The book is about death and burial and resurrection. And let me just stress that, as you said earlier, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is not a myth. This is our hope as Christians, is that Jesus not only died for our sins, but he rose from the dead. And we praise God for that. But in connection with the whole idea of resurrection, death, burial, and resurrection, there are a lot of misunderstandings that really go back to the devil, back to his first lie in the Garden of Eden, that if Eve sinned, she wouldn't die. And we'll explore that in a little bit, but my book deals with the whole topic of what does the Bible really say about death, about what happens after death, about burial, and about resurrection. So it's a big topic, and this is a good time of year to discuss this.
Absolutely. Also joining us is Pastor Jay Gallimore. He's a retired pastor, author. He's held many roles in the church, much loved by many, many people. Pastor Jay, and also an associate speaker here at Strong Tower Radio. Thank you so much for joining us, Pastor Jay.
Well, I'm happy to do it and to be with you, and always a joy to be with you and Steve both.
Pastor Jay, would you lead us in a word of prayer for our program?
Yes, I will. Heavenly Father, as we talk about the resurrection, it means everything to us. Without the resurrection of Jesus, nothing that was done at Calvary's cross can be applied to our lives. So as we talk about the myths that surround the resurrection today, we pray that you will bless us as we look at Scripture, and that those who are listening will be encouraged in their faith. And if they don't have faith, that they will have faith in this marvelous Savior. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Much of the Christian world looks to Christmas and Easter. This is, to some people, it's the highlight of their Christian experience. It's a twice a year experience, and we're at one on the doorstep of one of those events, the resurrection, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Pastor Steve, the title of our program, Resurrection Myths. What could be misunderstood about the resurrection? It's pretty clear.
Yeah, well, I guess, you know, obviously there's a lot of people in the world that don't even believe in the resurrection of Jesus, but the biblical evidence, the historical evidence that he rose from the dead, he was seen by over 500 people. There's plenty of biblical evidence that Jesus rose from the dead. But if we zero in on the whole idea of death and resurrection, Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 and 4, says that the fundamental principle of the gospel of Jesus Christ is that Christ died for our sins, and that he was buried, and that he rose from the dead. And so that's the pillar of Christianity right there. And it has to do with death, Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. And yet, unfortunately, and Tom and Jay, you both are well aware of this, most Christians, when you really press them concerning the death of Christ and his resurrection, or at least a lot of them, don't really believe that Jesus really died, or that anybody really dies as far as them being completely dead. The Bible's clear that when a person dies, they are dead. In Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 5, it says that when you're dead, the dead know nothing. In John chapter 11, when Jesus talked about Lazarus, he said, our friend Lazarus is sleeping, and I'm going to wake him up. I'm going to raise him from the dead. And that's what he did. In the book of Revelation chapter 1, verse 18, Jesus says, I am he who lives, and I was dead. But now I'm alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and the grave. So the biblical truth is that when a person dies, and when Jesus dies, when Jesus died, he was really dead. He was in the grave, in the tomb. There was a stone rolled over that tomb. He was not in heaven. He was not somewhere else. His spirit didn't float around somewhere. He was a dead man. And when the angel said on resurrection morning to the disciples in Matthew 28, verse 7, the angel said, he is risen from the dead. And yet there's so much confusion about death. Most people in the world, and even in Christianity, they believe the idea that when you die, you're really not dead. You have an immortal soul, that when as soon as you die, you go home to be with the Lord, you go up to heaven, or maybe if you're not a real believer, you go down to hell. In the secular world, they often believe that when you die, your soul goes into the afterlife, into the spirit world. You can see your dead relatives. In the Catholic Church, they believe you go to purgatory. In the Hindu world, they believe in reincarnation, that when a person dies, their soul goes on and can come back as a mouse or another person. And all of these different views really undermine the biblical truth that when a person dies, they are truly dead in their graves waiting for the resurrection. And when Christians focus on the resurrection of Jesus, which is our hope, and it's, you know, we praise God for the reality of that resurrection, so often they're missing the fact that Jesus was really dead and he rose from the dead. And when we die, we're going to be really dead. And our hope is that Jesus is going to resurrect us when he returns.
Pastor Jay, can you continue that discussion?
Well, yeah, I'd like to thank you, Steve, for that. I'd like to focus a little bit on the importance of the resurrection to all of us. Why is the resurrection the key to life after death? It is the key to life after death. And as Steve just so nicely pointed out, there are a lot of the world's religions, including much of Christianity today, that believes that when you die, you don't really die. And Steve, I know we're going to go back to Genesis in a little bit and talk about that first lie and the number two lie that goes with it. But, you know, when you go to the book of Revelation, which John also wrote after he gave us the account of his gospel, in verse 17, he says, talking about when he saw Jesus, he says, and when I saw Jesus in his glorified state, I fell at his feet as a dead man. And he laid his right hand upon me and saying, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. But Jesus doesn't stop there. Then he goes on to say, and the living one, and I was dead. So that just underlines what Steve is just saying, that Christ was dead. He says, I was dead, and look at me, and behold, I am alive forevermore. So it's not just alive, he's alive forever. Now that's what we're looking for as mortal human beings. We all know that we're going to die unless Jesus comes very soon. There will be those who will be alive when he comes, but most of the earth is going to die, and the question is, as you stand beside the grave of a loved one, as you look at loss, and we're all experiencing loss, the great question is, if a man dies, according to Job. Will he live again? Great question from Job. It's a crucial question. Now, the gospel and the resurrection of Jesus answer that with a resounding yes, we will live again. But do we live in some kind of spirit world where a soul goes floating around? Or is our hope of life everlasting based on the resurrection of Jesus? Is our resurrection connected to the resurrection of Jesus? And I think we want to say to our listeners today, as we put our hope in Jesus, our hope for everlasting life and life after death is all connected to the resurrection of Jesus and our own resurrection. The Bible focuses our hope in life after everlasting to the resurrection, our own resurrection being tied to that of Christ.
This is really... real to me, Pastor Jay, is just 2 days ago, I attended a funeral and we were right there at the graveside. And there was, I'm sure that of those attending or were different faith backgrounds, had a different vision of what was happening at that very moment as the casket is lowered into the ground. Two different views at the same committal service.
True. It's very personal to all of us when you really think about it. I mean, most of us have been to funerals. We've seen people die. We've seen them, dead, and we've watched the caskets go into the ground. I'm 64 years old. Tom, I think I'm a little older than you, and Jay, I think I'm a little younger than you are. I'm guessing.
Yes, sure.
But anyway, as I get older, I am very aware of my mortality. And I know that if Jesus doesn't come first, one of these days, I'm going to breathe my last breath. And when I die, my hope is not that I'm going to immediately go up into heaven. My hope, based on the resurrection of Jesus, is that if I die, then Jesus will resurrect me on the last day. And that's the hope that we all have. And I base that on many Bible verses in John, the book of John, chapter 6. Four times in that book, he said it in verse 39, verse 40, verse 44, and verse 54. Jesus referred to those who believed in him, and he said, I will raise him up at the last day. I will raise him up at the last day. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Verse 16 and 17, these are very well-known Bible verses. Paul said that the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ, and I hope to be one of them, will rise first. So Paul's clear that when Jesus comes, the dead in Christ will rise. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 51 to 55, Paul says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised, and we shall be changed. And then he talks about how this mortal will put on immortality, this corruptible will put on incorruption. And again, the hope is the resurrection, and that I will be raised. But most Christians really don't believe that. They believe that when you die, you go right to you go home to be with the Lord, or you go to hell, or you go into purgatory, or you go into the afterlife, or you can see your dead relatives, etc. And in a little while, we'll look at some more scriptures that this doctrine, this teaching that is so common all around the world, actually originated with a voice that spoke through a serpent in a tree called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil to the first woman. And he lied, and he said, you will not really die.
Pastor Jay, is it possible that with the resurrection, I like to use the term resurrection rather than Easter. We just learned in another interview that most of the world talks about Passover, the Jewish Passover, or the Christian Passover. It's the English and the German speaking nations that use the term Easter, but with the resurrection in mind, How does it's in we as Christian world look to the resurrection, but does the Christian world in general look at the Jesus's resurrection differently than what happens to us after we die?
Well, it's a very good question, and I think Steve was leading us back to Genesis, and so we want to get there in a moment. But before we go there, I just like to focus the book of Romans chapter 6 just a little bit, because Paul's focus on the resurrection is so connected to us. So I just want to read a verse from Romans chapter 4, because this is not what you hear. When you hear sermons on the resurrection, people talk about Jesus is alive, he's alive. Amen, he is alive. But there's a connection between this living Christ and our life eternal that is not from the serpent's mouth that Steve referred to in Genesis. So this is chapter 6 of the book of Romans, looking at verse 4. Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death. So baptism itself is a picture of the resurrection. Now, it's a wonderful thing to celebrate the resurrection this time of year, but the real celebration of the resurrection is when somebody gives their life to Christ and are buried in baptism. That's a symbol of dying to self and selfishness that's killing all of us, and then being resurrected to the newness of life, which is the unselfish life. And that in itself is a guarantee that we're going to come up on the morning of the resurrection, literally, after sleeping in the grave. So that's why Paul is saying this. And then verse 5 says, if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly, I love that word, certainly, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. So for our listeners, there must be a spiritual death and a spiritual resurrection in order to be part of the literal death that we all die and the literal resurrection, which we will be like Jesus. We will live forevermore. But I think it's time maybe to think about having Steve take us back to Genesis and that first lie. That first lie connected with the second lie is deceiving the entire world. In fact, I tell people, look, the reason the Battle of Armageddon, I know this sounds like a different subject, that the multitudes of the world, the kings of the earth, are gathered to fight against God. That's what the Bible pictures it in the book of Revelation, is because of that first lie, this myth, this misunderstanding of what happens to a person when they die. And it's a misunderstanding, and you'd wonder why the world doesn't get it nowadays when we talk about the resurrection of Jesus, because the New Testament is very clear. Our resurrection is dependent on the resurrection of Jesus. So we're going to need to go back to Genesis chapter 1 and talk about that myth that is going to deceive the entire world at the end of time. And it's also deceiving people right now. They don't have the hope that they need to have in this mighty resurrected Jesus.
Well, we'll be visiting with Pastor Steve after this break. You're listening to Resurrection Myths on Strong Tower Radio. We know that the resurrection is sure, documented in history and in scriptures. We're looking forward to looking at the first lie in Genesis with Pastor Steve Wolber and with Pastor Jay Gallimore. I'm your host, Tom Majeure. We'll be right back.
The Bible and God's character are under attack like never before. Here at Strong Tower Radio, we are proud to hold up the Bible as a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We believe the Bible is the Word of God and contains the good news of God's character and His great plan of salvation for mankind. If you know and believe this to be true, won't you help Strong Tower Radio proclaim the truth about our God and His Word, the Bible? To do that, go to www.strongtowerradio.org, and there, on our secure website, you will find a donate button. Click on that and give as the Lord directs. Thank you for listening and supporting Strong Tower Radio, where God's character is proclaimed.
We're back with Resurrection Myths with Pastor Steve Wolberg, Pastor Jay Gallimore, and your host, Tom Majeure. Pastor Gallimore, in the first segment, would you kind of bring our listeners, summarize what we've just talked about?
Yes, I'll be happy to do that. Sure, our title says, Myths About the Resurrection. Not that the resurrection is a myth, but there are misunderstandings. And we've been talking about a connection to Genesis, which we're going to get into in just a moment, but in the first lie that was ever told. But the resurrection means everything to us. And that's why we were talking about it in the first segment. In other words, our own hope for life everlasting is tied to the resurrection of Jesus, not going to heaven or hell or purgatory when we die, but tied to the resurrection. And so that's why we want to tie into the first lie and begin to understand some of these myths that have developed around the resurrection of Jesus and about death and dying, and why it's so important for us to put our faith in Christ, to have this transformation of life and to be resurrected spiritually so that we will be resurrected physically when Jesus comes. So I think, Steve, you're going to take us back to Genesis, aren't you?
Yes, and let me just preface this by saying most of us, most Christians, realize that the traditions of men have already been woven into the resurrection celebration. We call it Easter, but the word Easter isn't really in the Bible. At least it's not in the Greek New Testament. The Greek word is Passover, sometimes translated Easter, but the word Easter really goes back to the Babylonian goddess Ishtar. And we all know that bunny rabbits and Easter eggs, you know, really aren't in the Bible in connection with the resurrection. So we can see all these traditions coming in. And what most people don't realize is that there's a much bigger tradition that has been woven into the Christian world. And it goes back to Genesis. The title of my book is called Satan's First Lie. And let me explain why I picked that title. If you go back to the very beginning of the Bible, at the beginning of time, in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, it describes the formation of man. It says, the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So God took the dust of the earth, he breathed the breath of life into Adam, his lifeless body, and then he became a living soul. The scripture doesn't say that God put a soul into Adam, but that Adam became a living soul. He was a soul, a living being. And then in chapter 2, verse 16 and 17, God warned him. He said, you are free to eat from every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat of it. For in the day that you eat of it, you will surely die. So God told this living man, this living soul, that if you eat from the wrong tree, you are going to surely die. In other words, you will be dead. And then in chapter 3 of Genesis, verse 1, the drama begins. The serpent came in, and it says the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And the serpent, this snake in the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he was really just a mouthpiece for the fallen foe. He became a channel, a medium for the devil. The devil entered into the snake, and then he started dialoguing with Eve at the tree. And they went back and forth in verse 2 and 3. And then in verse 4, I'm going to quote it exactly. It says, the serpent said to the woman, you shall not surely die. For in the day that you eat thereof, your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. You will be your own God, basically. So here's two lies that Satan told. The first lie is that you won't die. God said, if you ate the fruit, you will surely die. And the devil quoted that verse, but he inserted the word not. He said, you will not surely die. So essentially, he was denying what God had said. And he was telling Eve, if you eat, you're going to keep going. You're going to go on. You're not going to die. That was the first lie. And the second lie is that you will become God. You'll be your own God. And all kinds of religions today teach that man is God. But they don't realize that the first lie that Satan told is that you don't die. And that was a deception. And Eve believed that deception. She ate the fruit, and then she handed it to Adam, and he ate the fruit. So first of all, the serpent was a channel for the devil. When Eve ate the fruit and offered it to Adam, she became a channel for the devil. And now the amazing thing is that most human beings, when it comes to this topic, they're also echoing the first lie of the devil, that when we die, we really don't die, that we have an immortal soul that goes on, that goes to heaven or hell or purgatory or the spirit world or is reincarnated. And that whole idea of fallen, sinful human beings having immortal souls that just go on at the moment of death, just the physical body dies, but the soul doesn't die, that is rooted in Satan's first lie.
You know, Pastor Steve, when I sit in a funeral service and that echoes in my mind, the devil's first lie, which is, you shall not surely die. That lie is exposed at that moment every time I go to a funeral.
Yeah, it reminds me, Tom, of Revelation chapter 12, verse 9. It says, the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent, going back to the Garden of Eden, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And that verse says that the serpent deceives the whole world. And the idea of the serpent, again, goes back to the garden. It goes back to the tree. It goes back to Satan's first lie to Eve, that you won't really die. And that teaching has deceived the world. People all over the planet, in the Christian world, the Catholic world, the Hindu world, the New Age world, the Wiccan world, you know, all these different religions, they believe very many different things, but they all believe one thing in common. And that is that when you die, you're really not dead. You don't die. You have an immortal soul that goes on. And that is not biblical.
It's pretty hard for people that when they've been this has been so prevalent, it's in the conversation, people repeat it just out of habit.
That's right, they do. And it's, you know, it also reminds me of Peter. When Jesus, in Matthew chapter 16, Jesus told the disciples that he was going to Jerusalem and he was going to die. He would be beaten, rejected, crucified, and resurrected. And Peter, you know, sincerely, but he was totally wrong. He told Jesus, no, Lord, this will not happen to you. And then Jesus turned around in Matthew 16, and he said to Peter, he said, get behind me, Satan, for you are an offense to me, for you do not savor the words of God, but those that be of men. And so in that instance, Peter was a mouthpiece for the devil. And the Catholic Church, you know, claims that its religion is based on Peter. And yet in that instance, Peter was a mouthpiece for the devil. And it's just shocking to realize that the Catholic religion and most of Protestantism and most of the world is repeating the same lie and has become really, when it comes to this doctrine, a mouthpiece for the devil. Just like Peter became a mouthpiece for the devil, Jesus rebuked him. And the devil said to Eve in the Garden of Eden, Genesis chapter 3, verse 4, the serpent said to the woman, you shall not surely die. And that is the belief that is being expressed all around the world, which goes back to Satan. And when you look at the whole Bible, it's just not biblical. The heart of this season that people are, you know, focusing on the resurrection is that Jesus, as Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 and 4, that Christ died for our sins. He was buried, and that he rose again from the dead on the third day. So death, burial, and resurrection is the biblical teaching, not the immortal soul an instant passage to some other place at the moment of death.
You know, I'd just like to share a little something else to go with that. That's excellent, Steve. Satan basically self-deceived himself. He wanted to be God, and he wanted to somehow believe that he could be immortal and he could take God's throne and be in charge of himself, that he didn't have to have these laws that make the universal civilization possible. Life is not possible without laws. The Ten Commandments are absolutely essential, every one of them, to life. That's why God gave them. He didn't give them to be arbitrary. But Satan deceived himself. He thought he could have life and not have to have these laws that are essential to life, and he rebelled against God. And he does the same thing with Eve. It's very appealing to the human heart. So God says, look, you cannot live without me. If you don't have faith in me and trust in me, and if you don't obey these laws that make life possible, you're going to die. And that's just the reality of it. Satan rejects that reality, and he makes a devil out of himself. And now he comes to Eve and deceives her with the same stuff. So he says, you're not going to die, not really going to die, Eve. Not you, not beautiful you. You're not really going to die if you eat that fruit. Let me tell you the real reason here why God told you you would die. Because the minute you eat that fruit, you'll become immortal like God. You'll just keep on living. You'll have a soul that just keeps on living. You'll just never die. And so Steve has just so nicely articulated how the religions of the world, including many of our evangelical friends. I was just came from doing some meetings in the South and ran into this concept again, where they'll quote the Bible, they'll quote 1 Thessalonians 4:16, but then they'll say, oh yes, there's going to be a resurrection, but God's going to bring the souls down that are alive right now and put them back into a body. That is so I don't know how to say that. So constructed, humanly constructed. It's not a word of biblical truth behind it. But it's very pleasing to people. It's very pleasing to people to think that they can be like God. And yet the New Testament in Timothy tells us that God alone has immortality. Our future eternal life is always connected to God. And that's why faith is so important. So it not only hits at the very heart of a great deception that's going on, but people, just like Eve, readily embrace this idea that they don't die when they die because they want to believe that somehow they're immortal and indestructible and that somehow they can be their own God, that they can kind of be in charge of themselves. And this is the reason the appeal of paganism. Paganism really appeals to people. Hinduism, billions of people believe in that, certainly. And you got Buddha and all this. And we have our Roman Catholic friends. We have our Protestant friends teaching the same stuff. But it's right out of the mouth of the deceiver. And so when people look at the resurrection of Christ today, they don't even think about the fact that the resurrection of Christ is the hope that we have as Christians. But we have to give up some things. We have to give up self and self-glorification, self-exaltation. We have to humble ourselves, and we have to be changed. Like Jesus told that very smart scholar and leader, Nicodemus. Nicodemus, you, he said, must be born again. And that's true for all of us. It's in this being born again that we give up our quest to rule ourselves, our quest to be our own God, and put our trust in Christ alone for our salvation, our trust in his resurrection, his death and his resurrection.
That's right, Jay. And let me strengthen my argument going back to Genesis. Right after Adam and Eve sinned, it says in Genesis 3:22, that the Lord God said, behold, the man has become as one of us to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from which he had been taken, and he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword, which turned every way to guard the way of the tree of life. So what's happening here is, after Adam and Eve sinned, God didn't want sinners to get to the tree of life and eat from that tree, because if they would have done that, it says they would eat and live forever. And God didn't want sinners to live forever, because then sin would go on forever. So he banished them, and he put sword flashing angels in front of the tree of life to guard it, so that Adam and Eve, as sinful, fallen human beings, could not get to that tree, eat, and then live forever. And so that proves right there in Genesis 3, 22 to 24, that fallen human beings do not naturally live forever. We die. And just a couple chapters later, in chapter 5, verse 5, it says, all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and then he died. And so that's what God said. If you sin, you'll die. The serpent said, no, you won't. You'll be like God. You'll go on forever. God banished them, so they never got to the tree of life. And all of these pieces of the puzzle make it very clear that human beings in their fallen state, we do not now naturally live forever. And as Pastor Gallimore said, the only way that we're going to live forever is through Jesus Christ. That's the only way, because it is death, his burial, and his resurrection.
Yes, Jesus, this resurrection of Jesus, he's our new tree of life. In other words, putting our faith in him, and the morning of the resurrection, he's going to give us life everlasting. And of course, the tree of life, according to the Bible, will be restored to us in the garden, in the new earth. So, Steve, that was so good. That was so really good to help us to understand that, yeah, they were cut off from life right there because they were cut off from the tree of life. They couldn't go on living forever. So our only hope is to put our faith in Christ every moment of every hour of every day, because he's our connection to life. But it's a connection through his resurrection and our resurrection.
Yeah, most people know Romans 6:23, where Paul said, or at least most do, that the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So the only way anybody's going to have eternal life is through Jesus Christ our Lord. And if we do not have Jesus Christ our Lord, the wages of sin is death. We're going to die. And the book of Revelation calls that the second death, the final death that has no resurrection.
Well, listeners, you've been listening to and will continue listening to Strong Tower Radio's Resurrection Myths with Pastor Steve Wahlberg and Pastor Jay Gallimore. I'm your host, Tom Majur, and we'll be back after this break.